FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Today's show is brought to you by U.S. Gold Corp. U.S. Gold Corp is a U.S.-focused gold exploration and development company advancing high-potential projects in Wyoming and Nevada. U.S. Gold Corp has consolidated a district on Nevada's productive Cortex Trend and is advancing the Copper King project towards production in Wyoming. Led by a team of prolific company builders and renowned explorers, including Dave Mathewson, who is directly responsible for several major Nevada gold discoveries, U.S. Gold Corp is well-capitalized and has an extremely tight share structure with less than 20 million shares outstanding and trades on the NASDAQ, a major exchange, under the ticker symbol USAU. To learn more, go to usgoldcorp.gold. That's usgoldcorp.gold.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 4/9/19. Well, got somebody on here who's become a bit of a celebrity, not by his own doing, certainly not. He would have preferred to have remained an obscure Russia expert. I'm talking about George Papadopoulos. You know him well. He was an official with the Trump campaign and a Russia expert. And then he became one of the centerpieces of the Mueller witch hunt / dossier / campaign, whatever you want to call it. Also the author of a book that just got released last week that we're in the process of getting through now called The Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump. And George, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Oh, thank you very much.
Well, so you're about the most unlikely person to be in the midst of a political thriller, whatever. Doesn't it just amaze you that you wound up in the middle of this thing?
Oh, my goodness. That's a great point you just made. And look, the last thing I would have thought I'd be doing in a million years is writing a book about the deep states and how I was effectively targeted by four intelligence agencies because of two things. One, my work in the energy business in the Middle East, and two, my work on the Trump campaign and the transition team. My book, Deep State Target, really gets into the thesis of it, I should say, just so I could summarize a very complicated situation in a very as simple words as possible. Effectively, what the thesis of the book is that the U.S. under the Obama administration and the Comey FBI and the Brennan CIA was collaborating and colluding themselves with foreign governments such as the U.K. and Australia and even Italy to basically do two things. One, entrap the Trump campaign, and two, to undermine the campaign and create a fake pretext to launch this bizarre investigation that they knew from the get-go was corrupted and had nothing to do with Russia.
Yeah, there's never a doubt in my mind. I mean, I told people 2 years ago, I said, well, is this going to bring Trump down? I said, this is a bunch of garbage. They're trying to get him to do stuff like fire Mueller and fire Rosenstein so then they can impeach him. But it's not going to work because he's already on to them. Now, here's a question for you. We know about this guy, Christopher Steele. He did this so-called, I'll just put it nicely, the potty Trump dossier. Every article I've ever seen written, it says former spy, retired spy. Now, look, George, come on. Like this, you know that once a spy, always a spy. And once they sign up, you know, he's been disavowed, it seems to me, by MI6. And now I want to see his retirement papers. I want to see his pension checks. He's only in his 50s. How does this guy become a retired spy? He must have done really well in the spying business that he could retire this young.
Well, look, it's exactly what you just stated is a great point, because what happened in this case is that the Obama DOJ was relying on these ex-spooks like Steele and others who were involved in my case to basically lie about us, meaning the Trump campaign, in order to obtain FISA warrants and other surveillance warrants on us because, you know, these so-called quote-unquote reputable sources were telling these things about us. And it wasn't just Steele, by the way. It was Alexander Downer, this Australian diplomat, who was meeting with me and spying on me. He's a Hillary Clinton ally. Stefan Halper was doing the same exact thing. He was spying on Michael Flynn and I and lying about us. So that when the FBI applied for FISA warrants, in case they needed them to get renewed, they would just tell the judge, oh, look what our high-level sources are telling us about these guys. But the whole time, they were in the pocket of Clinton and the Obama administration to set us up. So it's like a big scam. It's an incredible scam where, based on the quote-unquote reputations of these spies, they were telling the FISA judge and others, look what they're telling about the Trump team, but these guys had vested interest in a Clinton presidency, especially Alexander Downer and Stefan Halper and all these people. So that's actually the core of this incredible dark chapter in American political history. It's incredibly dark. It almost led to a soft coup against a sitting president. And you know what? Like you said, fortunately, Trump was smart enough not to fall into these stupid traps like firing Rosenstein or Mueller, because that's exactly what they wanted him to do, because they knew they had nothing else.
Yeah, that was it. Hey, so here's a question for you. Carter Page, he was an FBI, well, they don't call them assets, operative, whatever. He was an FBI agent, all right? He's never been indicted, and speculation is rife that he was actually a plant in the campaign, because then he could be part of the campaign and make all these incriminating associations. They've never gone after him. We know for a fact he was FBI in 2016. He testified in a Russian energy corruption trial, and he was instrumental in achieving convictions there. So this guy doesn't seem clean. And he seems very disingenuous whenever you see him on TV. What's your thought there?
Look, when you if you get a chance to read my book, and if the listeners get to read my book, they'll see there's a part where I talk about Carter Page, and I have my same suspicions about that you just stated. I think he was a plant. And about a week after I joined the campaign and he was on the campaign, he starts basically, because we were talking about a potential foreign policy trip for Trump to go to Russia and Europe, okay? And Page calls me, basically threatening me, telling me that, you know what, you better stop trying to do this Russia meeting and people are going to watch you or something like that. And I just found it very bizarre because I had no idea who this guy was, you know, why he was threatening me and why he felt that he had the right to even talk to me in a manner like that when he was simply basically a low-level colleague of mine. And that always struck me as odd. And then fast forward 2 years later, like you said, he was never indicted. He had no charges against him. While people like myself had FARA charges thrown at me, Mike Flynn had FARA charges thrown at him, Paul Manafort, Rick Gates, and all these others. Yet Carter Page, the guy with all the apparent Russia ties, is scot-free, is never charged with anything. And he's going around talking in this what I think is a disingenuous manner. So I think the whole thing stinks, quite frankly.
Yeah, so it's pretty frightening when the FBI, the CIA, the Director of National Intelligence, the Director of the CIA have all conspired to try to bring Trump down. Now, when we look at what happened with Mueller, it was amazing. Within 2 weeks or 3 weeks of Barr being sworn in as Attorney General, all of a sudden, Andrew Bulldog Weissman, he just leaves to go spend more time with his family and to get people off who have been wrongly convicted, which I find supreme touch of irony there. And then the next week, Mueller's gone. And I think my theory is Barr just went in there and said, all right, let's see your report. Well, we don't have a report. No, you have a report. I have it right here in my hands. And he probably had some blank sheets of paper and said, you're finished. All right, write your report. You've done enough harm. Goodbye. And then what happens? You know, it dies with a whimper and Mueller just slinks out of town. You know, nobody even knows he's left D.C. because originally they had a budget for two more years of this nonsense. What's your take on the denouement of the Mueller dossier?
You know, usually when you drop a report on at 5 o'clock on a Friday, it's meant to give off a whimper, not a bang. And that's exactly the point. I think that these guys had nothing. They know that they were corrupt. Mueller's a corrupt person, okay? His entire team and these people were effectively the lawyers for Clinton, and they were just out for blood because Clinton lost, okay? That's what these people are. They had no justification to investigate us. They knew there was no collusion. They knew none of us were dealing with Russia. So they just went after us, bankrupted us to get us to plead in these bizarre perjury traps that everyone is now laughing at them for. The worst mistake they ever made is actually sending George Papadopoulos to prison for 11 nights. You know why? Because it gave me the platform now that I have to testify to Congress, which I did, to speak on programs like yours and others, to go on TV, to write my book, to expose all these deep state assets that, quite frankly, I probably wouldn't have been able to do if I was living on the Greek islands like I was with my girlfriend at the time before I was arrested. So look, life is really funny, right? Because, you know, because this could have all remained hidden. All these guys would have been could have been still working as operatives, trying to set up the 2020 campaign. But because they went after me the way they did, and I guarantee you Flynn has his own story, I said, okay, the best you got is, okay, I'll do my 11 nights in a minimum security prison, reading the Wall Street Journal every morning there like I was and talking to lawyers and doctors, okay? But when I get out, I'm going to be this quote-unquote celebrity, as you stated, and people are going to hear my story, and it's going to burn them. And that's exactly what's happening right now.
Hey, and I want to just comment, your then-girlfriend, now-wife, remarkable woman. You know, they say
Simone is incredible.
Yeah, I could sense that she really helped you get through this because you didn't really understand initially what you were up against, what was going on here. You were just thrown into this totally unprepared. And that was by design, of course, because they picked you. They picked you for exactly that reason. You're not a political operative. You don't have experience in these setups, in these Washington ops. And yet your wife really helped get you through this, didn't she?
Oh, absolutely. Look, if it wasn't for Simona, my wife, even after I spent time in jail, no one would have ever heard my name. She gave me credibility. She is a former diplomat in Europe. She's a lawyer, and she would go on TV, and of course she's beautiful, but she would go on TV and articulate what was actually going on in my case and try to give hints of the truth of how I was set up. Now, when she was doing this is something that I've just recently been talking about, Mueller went after her. Mueller and his crazy team subpoenaed her and tried to threaten her and indict her because she was going public and talking and defending me and getting the truth out there about all these operatives, some in which she even knew because they used to work in Europe with her. Okay, that's the incredible story. The guy at the center of my story, this FBI asset, Joseph Mifsud, one day drops this bizarre information in my lap that the Russians have Hillary's emails, unsolicited, okay? It's called a dangle operation where you just drop this bomb on somebody and then you catch them in an entrapment operation. And Simona knew this guy. So because he was attending a lot of socialist parties in Europe and he was close to the Clintons. And she remembers when the FBI came to my house and charged me about lying about my timing of when I met him. She says, what are you pleading guilty for? You know, he's a socialist and he's close to the Clintons. They're entrapping you. And I didn't understand what was going on because this was, you know, October of 2017. We know much more now than we did back then, including that Mifsud has gone hiding for the last 2 years and he's hiding somewhere in Europe under the protection of probably the CIA. So anyway, you know, she's been great. She's helped get the story out there. She's a real great person, and I'm glad she stuck by me because, quite frankly, if it wasn't for her, none of this would have come out.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, really, I saw her many times on TV, And, you know, what's amazing is I knew from the get-go that this was garbage. It's a typical CIA op that they pull. They pull these things. I mean, a lot of times they kill people or, you know, really hurt people. Here, it was just all a scheme. And yet, you know, they got you involved in it, half a dozen others. Hey, Jerome Corsi, not sure if how close you are with him, familiar with what he's done, but he actually sued Mueller. And, you know, large lawsuit. They never did indict him, though. So they just didn't. They backed off in his case.
Well, I think Corsi, look, don't forget that when they came after me and Flynn, they came after us very hard and very early before we fully understood what a scam this was, okay? If they came after me, let's say when they came after Morrissey, I'd tell them to go get lost, basically, because I would have probably understood more or less what was happening. So when they went after Corsi, I don't know Corsi. I mean, we follow each other on Twitter, and, you know, he sent a couple nice messages to me, but I don't know him. My understanding is that they tried to get him in some sort of perjury that he had nothing to do with. And he basically and they told him, you better lie for us if you want to save yourself. And he said no. And even with this fake guilty plea or whatever I can't remember what they offered him. He said, I'm not taking it. And then they ended up vanishing and just disappearing. So they were basically going around threatening people to lie, to sing, to compose for them, or they'd be charged. And Corsi fortunately stood his ground, and he didn't do it, and he embarrassed them.
Yeah, and then now we have the extremely bizarre case of Roger Stone, which is another put-up job. And, of course, Roger is very dangerous. They had to send, you know, three different divisions, air, water, and ground forces to obtain to detain this 67-year-old guy because he's a real imminent threat. And, I mean, what I got from him was he's mainly concerned about his wife because she's deaf and she wouldn't understand an instruction and they'd shoot her. But outside of that, he was, like, laughing at these guys. And he was wearing a T-shirt that said, Roger Stone didn't do it, and recording the whole thing and implicating CNN as having been tipped off by the FBI. And this is going to be a whole bag of nothing as well, it just seems to me.
Look, I don't know what they're going to do to him except bankrupt him like they did to me and others in order to try and beat him into submission for something he didn't do. I'm not sure if that's the case. Maybe he has a GoFundMe account. Unfortunately, I couldn't have a GoFundMe account at the time because they had me under the seal so that I couldn't even breathe. But hopefully, I hope that people are contributing and helping him out because, you know, these legal fees are a killer. And, you know, you could really go through your savings very quickly. And he's not a young guy anymore. So I hope he's doing okay.
Yeah, well, my advice to him would be to fire all his lawyers, represent himself, because he has an innate ability to just totally turn things into circuses and make them look like idiots. And that's what they really can't stand more than anything. And I think that's why Mueller folded his tent, was that we were getting to the theater of the absurd where they were really going to be exposed and really shown for what they were. And that's when he said, oh, it's time to go. We better get out of here.
These guys, like I said, they had targets. We all had targets on us, okay? Whoever was charged, just to make it clear to the listeners out there, had a target on them by the Obama administration. They didn't like what I was up to with in terms of what I was promoting in the Middle East with the Israelis. They didn't like what Flynn was doing with the Russians. They didn't like what Manafort was doing with the Ukrainians. They didn't like what Roger Stone was doing with all his little games and deception or whatever he was doing. And that's what they went after us for, okay? They just had a bone to pick with us. And they knew that, you know, if we're going to make an example out of anybody, we're going to go after these guys. They didn't pick us randomly, okay? And as my story is coming out now and as my background is being a little more clear, you'll understand it when you read the book of why I had this target on me by these people and why I got caught in the middle of, you know, these two stampeding elephants fighting one another. You know, what do they say? when elephants fight, the grass dies, right? There's some sort of expression like that. And right. I was the grass. Mm-hmm. You know, it was Mueller, it was Obama, Comey, and Brennan versus Trump, and I was the grass. Mm-hmm. And Flynn was the grass, and others who got caught up in this. But fortunately, you know, as we saw recently, Congressman Devin Nunes has criminal complaints that he's going to be sending over to the DOJ that are probably going to indict, you know, former FBI officials and Obama administration officials for their role in this scam. And, you know, justice is going to be served. And as I stated, the worst mistake I ever did was giving me 11 nights in jail, because now that my story's out there and people are listening, it's really going to redirect the arrow and the heat against them.
Yeah, it's really outrageous. And we should have mentioned that you are an oil, gas, energy expert, and that was kind of the genesis of your career, which kind of led you here. I mean, George, looking back 3-4 years ago and, you know, connecting the dots to where you are now, it's got to be an amazing journey, huh?
Absolutely. And, you know, the last thing I'll say is that the only thing I was ever trying to do was promote U.S. interests, okay? But one thing you don't realize as you're doing that, or when you think you're doing that, you're stepping on other people's toes and other people's interests. And when you're in the energy business and in a very sensitive part of the world like the Middle East, like I was working in, one action will lead to an unpredictable consequence. And that's exactly what happened in my case. It's very clear cut in my book. I can't explain it now because we'll probably need to talk about it for a couple hours.
Sure.
But you'll understand when you read the book and the of how and why I had this target on me. And it essentially had to do with, you know, upsetting the Obama administration and his interests. And you'll see that in my book, I explained that I was meeting with prime ministers and ministers of the various countries and promoting this new agenda. You know, by doing that, I had CIA officials, DIA officials reaching out and basically threatening me while Obama was in power. So it's an interesting situation I found myself in. I never predicted I'd be caught in the crosshairs of a plot to bring down a president. But but I guess
here you are.
Fate. That's fate for you, and I hope everyone enjoys the book and educates America, and, you know, whoever perpetrated this against the American people receives, you know, what's coming to them.
Well, we can only hope and pray that justice is in fact done, but it comes very slowly. As they say, the gears grind very slowly and exceedingly fine. Anyway, the book is The Deep State Target, How I Got Caught in the Crosshairs of the Plot to Bring Down President Trump by George Papadopoulos. Hey, we really appreciate you coming on. Any questions, comments for George, myself, email us kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed @CarrieLutz, Facebook page Financial Survival Network. George, thanks so much.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.